Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. One word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we've altered in bad ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Sunday afternoon. I'm glad that you're tuning into the program today. This is your host, Brenda K. Sanders, and certainly I welcome you to the broadcast today. You know, I am so full today about this subject that I'm about to talk about today. I hope I can stick to it. You know, some things you can just talk about from your heart. And sometimes, you know, some things from your experience. And I think I'm able to do that today with this broadcast because I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. I'm going to chapter 16 of Genesis. Before I get there, though, I mean, there are some things that I believe all of us can speak about, and I might not stick to the text today. That's why I try to do my text, because relationships and obeying God in relationships and promises, I believe it is something that is universal to the believer. And what we go through when we are expecting God to fulfill his promises to us. And it can be very trying. It can be very tiring and something that wearies us. But God will revive. He will rehabilitate the believer when we go through these trials and tests. And so that's what I want to talk about today. As usual, I talk about believing God in the darkness when you can't see what God is doing. And what God does do, he grows us up. He matures us in the dark places when he is stretching us, when he is really doing a work within us. And it's a strengthening work. And I can say that, oh my goodness, the testimonies I have about God strengthening me in a time of, yes, I mean, extreme and darkness. And I don't want to break down today because I've had so many of them, but I thank God today for the strengthening, so that I would not, you know, fall or fail so miserably that I would cancel the call that God has on my life. And I thank God for that, because it's so easy. The more dire and dark it is, it's so easy to forsake what God, the promises that God has given us, have given us. Okay, and so I keep the scripture in front of me, and I certainly have kept it in front of you. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But when, but then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God." You know, I say that scripture week by week because God has promised to deliver us from this period of darkness when we're seeing in this dark glass and when life is full of questions and riddles and enigmas and, I have a sense of it. I know what I want to say about it. It's like when you think you're being delivered and it doesn't happen. Those are the things that God is causing us to have patience about. And when we understand that we have to go through those dark, when everywhere we go, it seems like it's a big nothing, a big void. It's really working and creating a strength in us that we do not understand. And wanting nothing, where's the scripture? I don't have it up before me. I can't pull it word for word. When we get to the point, well, okay, God, this is not where I thought I was going to be at this time, and I'm going to continue to seek you and seek the fulfillment of what you have promised. However, at this particular time, I'm not going to be deviating, engaging in things that's going to console my flesh. I'm going to sit here and take it. Next time this thing comes around, I'm going to look at it and say, praise the Lord. And so that is, I want to flip the scripture here, but I'm having too much trouble with my studio off. So, but the end thing, when I'm talking about the cycle of patience for several weeks here, is that patience allows us to be long-suffering and enduring. Who wants to go through it? No one. I don't even want to go through it. But there's a work of long-suffering and endurance that God wants to place in us, install in us, that when these very dark things appear in our life, when it appears as though it's just crumbling everywhere, every promise, every fulfillment that God has extended to us, we remain calm, we remain stable, we remain enduring. But anyway, I think I've gone on enough. But you get the point. Going to 1 Corinthians 13:12, I cite it every week. You know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you this, and this is what I wanted to cover today. And actually, when I look at Genesis chapter 16, I can probably minister from this passage of Scripture for about 5 weeks because there's so much here. There's relationships here. There are triangle relationships. I can talk about that. I can talk about how we react to God when we have to wait, when we don't see Him, how it is that we succumb to convenient situations when we're waiting on God to fulfill His promise about the perfect situation. It's so much here. I don't know. I'm just talking from my heart today. Maybe I will construct, try to stick to one facet of this passage of Scripture. And I have come up with this one thing that I want to talk about, if I can stick to it, because like I said, I can really go all over the place with this passage of Scripture here with Sarai, Abram, and Hagar, is convenience. And I've talked about convenience being a phase in the cycle of patience. And it's just what I just talked about, is that we get tired. You know, here in Genesis 16, a convenient breakdown of faith in the cycle of patience. That's what I said the title was. And it is. It's not that we're not believing. In fact, we are believing. Here, if you read the passage of Scripture, Sarai, well, she said, look, there's going to be a son. She did not say, there's not going to be a son. God has not promised us a son. She had a level of belief, which is expectancy. But it wasn't expectancy, because expectancy is strong belief. She had a belief that God had promised her son. It was something, a covenant promise to Abraham and herself. I mean, it can't be fulfilled unless it be Abram and Sarai together. And, you know, he's a little bit too slow about it. And so let's do our own thing here and make it come to pass. You can't do it. You can't help God. I know you probably heard that a million times. And helping God sometimes causes these kind of convenient situations that, I mean, just really, it's a detour. I say convenience is a detour from what God has said. I mean, He is a great grace and mercy. And so when He wants to do something great in us, there are these many trials and tests. Many trials and tests. And I don't know why. I just feel like weeping right now, because it is so. And I'm not weeping out of depression or disappointment. I'm just feeling the presence of the Lord today. I really am. So if I weep, excuse me. But in those long dark seasons when we do not see God, we must stay dedicated to what He has said. It is very difficult sometimes. But here we have the woman acting out. And she had a head. Her head was her husband, Abram, and he, too, failed in this time when convenience is staring you right in the face. What do you do when convenience is staring you right in the face? You say no. Well, they did not say no. I mean, this had been a 10-year period from the time when God first promised the son. 10 years had passed by. I believe when it first started in Genesis 12, Abram was 75 years old. At this time, when we get to chapter 16, Abram is 85, and then when the child is born, he's 86. Now, that's talking about Ishmael. But let me tell you something. Before I started this broadcast, also I wanted to say this, that I heard a word, and it seems simple, but I did. I heard this word, prosperity. And if you hear me, I've been on Block Talk Radio all this time. You don't really hear me talk about that. But I heard the word prosperity. Amen. Praise God. Whomever that is for, it may be for me. And I'm thankful for it if it's for me. Sometimes I don't know what's what until I get off of the broadcast and he'll tell me that it's for you. But convenience is so tempting sometimes. Let me tell you, I've been there, and it is not fun. Convenience is not fun when God is determined to bring a promise that he gave you to fulfillment. It is not fun. It's a test. It really is a test. And here with Abram and Sarai, it was a test because they've been through so much. The 10-year cycle, you know, numerically, that means a lot of testing and trials and tribulation. The 10-year mark is this. That's when you have had all you can take. You just have had it with the things of God. And you say, wait a minute, I know what God wanted me to do. I'm going to do this. And it's kind of like you indulge your flesh. One indulges the flesh. And it is, I mean, if you have experience in these types of things, you will know that you're just not going to go there. And I've had those kinds of tests, the detour test, and it is just not something that's palatable to me at this time in my life. Why? I've been there and failed. I told a story. I know this is about a fleshly son being born to Abram and Sarai, and by way of the surrogate stuff with Hagar. And I know I'm not sticking to my tags, but let me tell you about a story. I've told that story here on Block Talk Radio before. It was a time when in the early 80s I just got saved, had a really bad accident. I haven't even told the testimony about how God spared me then. But my car was tore up. It was destroyed. It was totaled on a very wintry Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And, you know, just a crazy day where I had a spin-out accident on the freeway in Detroit. Well, I don't know if I was in Detroit, but I was definitely driving from Ann Arbor to Detroit from my job where I worked for the county of Washtenaw. And, you know, put on brakes a little bit too soon and spun out, tore my car up. Now, I have not yet told a story about that, but that is a testimony in and of itself. But I was carless, and I was looking for a new car. Did not have the money at that point. I lost my job for a time because I could not commute from Ann Arbor to Detroit. And I'm looking for a car. God gave me the vision of the car. I talked about this before. I'm going to shorten it real fast. And then he gave me a vision of a car, a red Pontiac, and I, Grand Prix. And I had the vision of it. I found one in a magazine, carried it around. I was on the bus. This is when I first got saved. This is around 86. It was leading up to my salvation, which was on January 7th, 1987. So this was in 1986. Leading up to this time where I really gave my life to the Lord and departed from a lot of the things that I had done. I mean, I had accomplished a lot by this point. I was an attorney licensed, and I had graduated from law school. I was 23. And so I had done a lot. Graduated from the University of Michigan within 3 years. Graduated from law school within 2.5 years. I was on a fast track, I thought. But this is where a derailment came, this bad accident that I have had. I survived the accident. But I had to find this car because I wasn't going to be able to continue to work. And what happened was God gave me a vision of this car. And I mean, it was a nice, fast car. It was a great car. But what happened is I began to deviate. It took so long for me to get the money to get the car that God had promised. And I began to deviate from what God told me. And I began to seek out other things, other cars. That didn't work. I didn't get those cars. But you know what? If God promises you a new red Pontiac Grand Prix, then don't go and get a, let's see, a 19, by the time, let's see, that was 86. So don't go get a 1984 Ford Tempo, and try to buy it if you, God promised you something else. See, it's a detour. And it's a promise that is not, does not have the excellence of what God promised. It's a deviation from the promise, and it causes you to settle for what God did not promise, and it will cause you problems that will bring consequences that will delay the actual promise of God. What I did is try to, I'm tired of riding the bus. I have this picture of this car in my pocket. I get tired. I mean, during this period of time, I mean, someone threw rocks at the bus. It's really a funny story about when I had an actual just all-out fit about what God was doing in my life at that point, and then he was gracious enough to bless me. But what happened was I went to buy this older model temple, Ford Temple. Do you remember that? And I remember walking into the car dealership. It was a used car dealership. And the lights, all of the lights actually went out in the dealership. Every one of them. And I remember, and I'm thinking, how odd. I'm walking in here looking for this old Ford Temple that I saw in the paper. And the lights go out in the dealership. And the salespeople, who, you know, they're the ones that are really hungry for a sale, they push me out of the dealership. Yeah, you got to go. You got to get out of here. We cannot talk to you at this point. The lights have gone out, and we are not even waiting on them to come on. We are being closed for the rest of the day. Bye. That's what happened to me. And so I'm so upset. I'm like, God, I really need a car. I don't want to wait for you to bless me with that new Grand Prix. I don't have the money. And I am tired of riding that bus. Well, no matter what, and this is what I want to talk about, convenience, is that it is a detour from God's excellence. And when God does bless us, it's really worth it if we can endure and we can really engage long-suffering and determine that we're going to be steadfast to what God promised. Now, it is something of the flesh. It's the flesh that's raging. And we want to do something at that time to console our flesh. We don't want to go through it. It's just painful. It's frustrating, pointing, and it's a rage of the flesh. And in my rage, I did that. And it didn't work. And I found myself going right back home, sitting down without a car. And when the real realization and the fulfillment of God's promise came, it was very glorious. It was very glorious. And God gave me exactly what he promised. I can't remember how long it had been, but it took some time. It was not overnight. And the experience, the last thing that happened to me on that bus, I'm going to tell the truth here, was I was sitting by a gentleman who had these, like, older gym shoes on, no socks, and his feet smelled to high heaven. And the bus was crowded. And it was hot. And I thought, goodness, I got off the bus. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with that man's feet? I am too through about that. And I just threw a fit that day. I was in the habit of praising God when I got home. I didn't want to praise God. I just cried. I didn't cuss, you all. I was close. But I had just had it with what God said. That's the real tip right there. I had just had it. I don't want to hear what you have to say anymore. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have been there. I have been there. And no one wants to admit that. But, I mean, I remember just laying on my bed and crying and saying, you know what? I don't like you, God. I told you. Why would you put me through this? Why would you let me go through this horrible thing? And hallelujah. I'm going to say hallelujah. The next day, the money came supernaturally. My goodness. I was able to go pick that car up. Do you hear me? Oh, my goodness. Yes, when the fulfillment comes, it's a blessing. It really is. If you can endure, and become patient about what God has promised, the blessing will be worth it. It really will. It will be worth it. I remember going to that very, I couldn't go any further. And then wake up, and God bless me. I mean, I went to where, at that point, I was doing what we call, you know what, I can't think of anything sometimes when I'm on the show, but it is a method of payment that attorneys get. I'm looking at the word. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, case-by-case payments. It's like when you're court-appointed lawyer, and I got to that court, and my checks were given to me, and they were like a flood of money, let me tell you. And I was able to go pick that car up that day. It was a Friday afternoon, and I didn't have anybody that was there to help me pick the car up. I had to drive to get the car, right? And one of the clerks of the court said, you know what? You have a new car. You're able to go pick it up. I'll go pick it. I'll drive you out. That's how I got my new car. But I had endured. Let me tell you how long I endured. 3 years. 3 years before God's promises came to pass. So convenience is not something we want to indulge in. It is a temptation. It is a move to console our faith. And that's what happened here with Abraham and Sarai. They were succumbing to this fleshly need to get it done. And that's what happens sometimes. You're just tired of all the mishaps and the trials and tests, the famines. Your people are acting a fool. You just get tired, you know. And that's when you do the convenience thing. But it's not advisable. I know right now that convenience only delays the promise. When I went to get that fourth temple, it was almost 6 more months before I was able to car, 6 or 7 more months. I had to wait. And God was teaching me patience and to believe him no matter what. And it worked. It really did. And I've told the story of how the car, and it's too long right now, I've given my prompts at the end of the broadcast, was given to me. It was given to me. Do you understand? Ha ha! I have to tell you that next week. The car was given to me. Do you understand? And so we have to wait on God. It's a blessing. And it seems like when you understand that, and you know that the test gets more severe, and the testing gets more severe. There is anyone out there listening today, and you're in that convenience phase of that test of patience. I know I didn't talk about Abraham and Sarah right now. Resist convenience and wait on God. It is definitely worth it. If you're in a job and you want to take it and you know God told you something else, wait on God. And when it comes, it'll be worth it. The fulfillment part of God's promise is so worth it. And then you won't have to worry about the consequences that flow from, really, it's the convenience, the temptation to succumb to a convenient situation is really disobedience as well. But I think at this point, when Sarah and Abraham were just so tired, they just, you know, did a fleshly enactment of what they thought God was saying. And then, you know, there's all the consequences, and they still can be seen today in the Middle East and so forth. So, you know, at that point, I don't know if I want to say willful disobedience. I think I want to say that it was that they felt at that time. And so that is what we have to look out for when our flesh is so weary that we fall into these temptations. Well, I have talked a lot today. I have not even covered my text, but you see them there. And I'll get to it next week because there's a lot I can say about this passage of Scripture and many, many facets to comment on here. Well, thank you for listening to the program. I thank you again for tuning in. Trust that you will tune in again next week for the rest of this convenient commentary. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archive episode here or any other episode that you wish to listen to that's already listed there on the show page. Thanks again for listening and have a blessed week.
I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed throughout the evening. And anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life, that's Christ. Oh, in my spirit, way down in my spirit, yeah, in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. But as he speaks, he must be sheep. To hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again. Oh, in my spirit, yeah. Down in my spirit, yeah, in my spirit, Jesus is Lord. Glory is ever gone.